Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Wisdom is something that's acquired. It's something that's pursued. You never end that journey. You're constantly evolving and growing in it because you pursue it.
But when you realize that the things that you are called to are bigger than you, that means you got to get big real quick.
There's always another chance, but tomorrow's not always promised. What if you're not here tomorrow? What have you left? What have you achieved?
When it comes to self-growth, when it comes to character, when it comes to emotional intelligence, a lot of the work that we have to do is going to be uncomfortable by necessity. Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth, and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's episode, we are going to talk about going from a girl to a woman.
Growing
in maturity, wisdom, and confidence. And this was actually really inspired by the dilemma for this episode. So definitely stay tuned for that. But we often get asked, like, how are you guys this mature for your age? How are you this smart? And I always jokingly respond with, like, it's trauma. However, as I reflect on it, one, that's a very unhelpful response to people. But also, I think there is more to it than that. You know, people can experience unfortunate situations. People can experience things which would force them to mature. However, the way that you grow is kind of dependent on how you choose to grow through those kind of situations. And so as the glowing and growing champions, I thought it would be really good to talk about, like, how we have navigated going from being a girl to a woman, maturing as ladies.
I love that. No, it's necessary. It's giving coming of age.
Exactly. Navigating girlhood and womanhood is definitely not easy. It was the theme of our last live show, you know, womanhood through the ages. But I wanted us to kind of just give practical pointers on how we've been able to do that, things that people can take away to be able to go on their own journey of growth and maturity.
Absolutely.
So, any housekeeping?
Do we have any housekeeping? Aside from the usual stuff of y'all need to buy the book.
Oh, yeah. Please definitely support our book. It's been 1 year since we published our book, actually. Woo! Shout out to you guys for everybody around the world who's bought it. I did want to say, keep your eyes peeled on the mailing list. Because very, very soon we're going to be having a cheeky little something happening.
Oh, yeah.
A cheeky little, I'm just sowing a seed. Yeah. You know, if you want to know all about how you can do some stuff, sign up to the mailing list.
Do some stuff.
Just, I don't
know. Some things.
I don't want to give you all the tea. So just, I want to give you everything. Basically, this week something's going to be dropping on socials. It's an event.
Ooh.
But prepare yourself.
Because, just be prepared. That's it. That's all that we can say. Details coming soon. Amen. TBC.
Sign up to the mailing list. They'll probably find out first.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's literally it.
Our house stays clean.
Clean these days. So into the ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Hello, sisters.
Hi.
I'm a 23-year-old girl currently studying abroad. Mm-hmm. I live by myself. I don't really have many friends and I'm quite an introvert. I have been struggling with being an adult on an emotional level. I feel like I am very emotionally immature. I sometimes act like a child and can be overly goofy too. I absolutely hate this characteristic of mine because I feel like people don't take me seriously nor respect me as I would want them to, or they look down on me. I also notice that my closest friend tends to deviate from talking to me about certain topics because she feels like I am not ready or emotionally mature enough to have those conversations. She once told me that I lack character. And just for context, this was a constructive opinion / advice she had given me once because I had asked her to. I am trying so hard to build my character, but I haven't been able to see any changes so far. Sometimes I feel like maybe it is because I haven't experienced much in life yet, or because I do not socialize a lot, which might prevent me from getting to know and understand more people and their behaviors and so on. But honestly, I am not sure. What advice would you give me to work on my emotional maturity as an adult and build a strong character. Love the podcast.
Oh, thanks,
I love this
girl.
Dilemma because the dilemmas we've been getting about men is too much.
It's too much. And also, I'm sure the men that are secretly listening are like, ah, is enough? Hold off enough. Now. You know what I'm saying? Like, wrap it up. Although I would love to see another dilemma from a brother about a sister. That would be great. Like, oh, my girlfriend, she's annoying me. But no, I really completely agree. I love this dilemma because I think it's something that we often don't talk about.
Yeah.
And when people say the words emotional maturity, emotional intelligence, character, all these kind of things, they feel like buzzwords that are super, super vague.
Yeah.
So sis, thank you so much for your vulnerability and sharing this with us. I think first it's really important to understand the root of some of your unconscious behaviors. Mm-hmm. It seems that this kind of goofiness or like playfulness or lack of taking things seriously has a root that needs to be unearthed. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to be goofy or like funny and stuff like that, but I think in doses, right? And also appropriate context. Like, there are some contexts where you can be joking with your friends, you can banter them, but if you're finding that you are frequently having that response to everything, then that's when it becomes a problem. Because oftentimes very serious situations necessitate a degree of emotional intelligence, right? And seriousness and soberness. So I think find the root of your goofiness or your making light of serious situations. Is it a trauma response? I know you mentioned, you know, oh, I haven't really been through anything. Could you be trivializing your experiences? Could you be thinking that, you know, you have to qualify or have to go through things in order to be emotionally intelligent, which actually isn't the case. Emotional intelligence is like a muscle that's built over time. It is engaging in those transparent conversations with your friends, your family members. It is actively watching content or intaking information that's conducive to you understanding more about human beings. It is you setting aside time during the day or during your week to actually check in with yourself and your how you feel internally. So I think it is really starting with what is the root of some of your responses in these situations. I think it's really great and super mature of you as well to have asked your friend for feedback, and I'm glad that she felt at least comfortable enough to say like, hey, these are some areas where I think you could potentially work on in order to make me feel a little bit more comfortable sharing the more serious parts of my life with you. And I think even that, having patience with yourself and the people around you to really see the change that you want to make in those relationships. So I think, yeah, start with the root. Start taking in that feedback as well. So mapping out, okay, what are the kind of situations where I am most likely to have a probably inappropriate response? And then you can start building a game plan of doing the work, right? And doing the work is made up of so many different composite parts. Everybody's journey is different and everybody's work is different, but there are a few staples that could be helpful for you. So a big thing for myself and Courtney, and it's definitely something we're probably going to talk about in this podcast, is we're women of faith. A lot of our wisdom, our guiding principles, the way that we engage with people is based off of our relationship with God. It's based off of our faith. It's based off of the moral principles that we have for ourselves. I think for you, it's very important for you to map out who is the woman that you actually want to be. Not just, you know, in terms of what you've acquired or where you see yourself, but in terms of your characteristics, mapping out who is the woman that I want to be, how I want to show up in these particular situations. Do I want to be measured? Do I want to be mature? Do I want to be kind? Do I want to be loving? Actually attributing characteristics to this woman will make it easier and will also be a guiding reference point for you when you are in those situations. You're not just kind of relying only on, you know, your automatic responses, but you're actually thinking consciously about the woman that you want to be. And literally emotional intelligence, but often a lot of things that we want to see for ourselves is rooted in our ability to choose to be that person in those instances, right? So it's not just enough to have a lofty ideal of the woman that you want to be. It's choosing to be her in the situations when they do arise. So I definitely encourage you to map out the characteristics of the woman that you want to be in terms of emotional responses, emotional maturity, and then start doing the work under those characteristics, right? So there's the more kind of individual work that you can do in terms of like, if you are a person of faith, reading your Bible, your equivalent religious text, it may be, you know, going to more events or even community gatherings where they talk about more kind of serious endeavors. I know, especially for a lot of women that are pioneering in this space, they do create lots of spaces for us to have those conversations and those debates, the podcast being one of them. It may look like you Actively spending time with friends in more serious contexts as well. So maybe you guys have been having a great time going out, but tomorrow, next week, let's do a coffee catch up, or let's do something that's a bit more about kind of wellness, check-in, all that kind of good stuff. Mm. So actually setting yourself up to have opportunities to show up as the woman that you have now designed, yeah, or the woman that you want to be is super, super important. And exercising that muscle as it comes and really thinking about how can that work actively take place in those situations. I think also giving yourself a little bit of grace. You mentioned that you had already started trying to do that work, and kudos to you. I know that sometimes it can be frustrating when we're working on our character and it's not bearing fruit,
yeah,
but I think it is important to give yourself grace and pivot and try something that does work instead, right? So don't be disheartened that your efforts, whatever they are not yielding good fruit just yet. It is just an indicator that actually you need to try something different, you need to pivot, you need to find something else that's more conducive to get the fruit that you want in those kind of situations and those relationships. And then I don't know what, outside of like your immediate community, I don't know if you have any accountability, I don't know if you have any mentorship, I don't know if you have examples of people in your community that may exhibit the characteristics that you desire, or people that may be able to guide you sometimes. Mm. I think sometimes it can be really easy for us to formulate, I want to be this woman, but then we don't have that woman, or we don't have those examples that are present in our life. So I think it's also important, if there's people around you that are modeling what it is that you want to be, you need to get into conversations with them, you need to be around them, you need to spend time in their presence. Because a great thing that has really helped myself, and I'm sure Courtney can attest to this, is the fact that we're around incredible people that inspire us, that challenge us, draw from other people as well, not just like your contemporaries or the people that expect you to show up in that particular way or as that woman, but actually people that you can use as inspiration as well in like real life context, that can help you with that emotional maturity. And then the last thing I said, because I've spoken a lot, is making sure that you are also in tune with your own emotions. It kind of goes back to what I was saying about like, what is the root of why you feel like you're not able to have the responses that you want emotionally. But actually, like, one thing that I have previously struggled with is articulating my emotions, but also like being able to really share what is on my heart. And I think that in order to have emotional intelligence and to support other people, we often need to demonstrate that with ourselves first. So I would definitely think about working on that too, articulating your emotions, how you feel, really thinking about kind of like your lifespan, like the things that you've experienced, what has contributed to who you are today, and actually exercising or practicing being mindful in the moment. Like, you can journal, you can have conversations, whatever it looks like for you. But I think emotional intelligence often starts with how we interact with ourselves internally before we can go and interact with other people, because the grace always starts with us first, and then we can extend it to others.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that is what I would say in a very long-winded fashion.
No, it was very nice, very detailed, and I agree with everything that you said. I think even if you haven't had the experiences which you think would mature you or cause you to be emotionally mature, you can actually glean from the wisdom of others who have already gone through it. So listening to this podcast, listening to other resources out there where people talk about emotional intelligence and, you know, such things, will definitely be helpful and a great first step, because sometimes you don't need to go through everything, but you can take the lessons and the wisdom from it. So definitely expose yourself to that kind of content, that kind of literature, which teaches you things about emotional intelligence, maturity. But also remember that, like, sometimes some things are just your personality. Like, I can even reflect personally, sometimes when people are telling me like really crazy things, sometimes my response, even if it's very serious, is to make a joke of it. And one thing I have learned over time is like, there is a place for that. And if your friend, or the person you're interacting with understands your personality, they will appreciate it. But like you were highlighting, it depends on the context and whether it's appropriate. And I think you have to work on also kind of having a certain level of tact and discernment for situations to deem whether, is this thing I'm about to say appropriate for the situation based on this person's like current emotional state or their behavior. If I insert this, is it going to seem insensitive? That kind of thing takes a level of, like you said, emotional intelligence and being able to read the room, read the conversation, see and assess what this person needs. And so I would say if this is a part of your personality, don't completely shut it down, mm-hmm. but start to learn how to decipher whether it's appropriate for that specific moment. And that is purely a fruit of emotional intelligence. And so definitely read up on stuff, try to read social cues as well in people, but that's a skill learned over time. I would definitely say it's amazing that you asked your friend for constructive criticism, which brought up this point in the first place. And I think letting her know that, like, you know, this is something I actively want to work on. I know you may not want to talk to me, you know, about certain situations because you feel like I'm not mature enough, but I really care about you and our friendship that I want to mature in that way. Mm-hmm. So can you also hold me accountable to my responses? You know, when we're having a conversation, if it's not too laborious, could you let me know like that was a bit insensitive, mm-hmm. or, you know, this is how I would have wished that you showed up for me, just so that I can kind of, you know, adapt my behavior over time. But also for yourself, pay attention to making sure that that is not, she's not becoming hypercritical right. of you. And you're not completely shutting yourself down or being too self-conscious, but yeah, take on the constructive feedback and allow her to kind of be that form of accountability in your life as well. And I love what you said about like mentoring and modeling. A lot of times we learn how to handle situations by how we've seen other people handle situations, so definitely find people whose character you actually want to emulate in their approach to certain things. Figure out like how do you read the world, because the world is not all, you know, fine and dandy. Sometimes really hard things happen, or, you know, it requires us to have a certain level of maturity in our approach to it. And when we do surround ourselves with community, they sometimes lean on us for that kind of advice and we don't know what to say. And so sometimes you want to see, how do other people deal with this kind of situation? How do other people give advice? How do other people approach the more serious things of life, and kind of model your approach in that way? Or at least have somebody to call on to be like, I'm currently faced with a situation, don't really know how to handle it. How would you handle it? And that level of proximity, but also being able to ask somebody for help, can hopefully direct your steps and your behavior a little bit. But I do also think you have a lot of maturing that will happen inevitably over time, and it's good that you're already thinking intentionally about it. And whilst 23 is not super duper young, depending on your life experience, it is quite young. You know, you still are quite a young adult, emerging, like you said, into adulthood, and that can actually be really tricky. But also you haven't faced every challenge or every maturing obstacle that you will in life. And so also give yourself patience. I think this is going to be something that is cultivated over time. And so grow your level of patience with yourself, and also ask your friends for that level of patience as well, that, you know, you're trying, you know, you're actually trying to mature, and it may just take a little bit of time, but it sounds like you're on the right track. I would definitely say the rest of this episode will be helpful. But yeah, expose yourself to the knowledge other people have, and expose yourself to somebody who you really want to model yourself after. But I love what you said also lastly about, ideally, how would you have responded to this, right? Like, what do you actually think would have been the appropriate response? And then also, what stopped you from displaying that behavior? Was it that you felt like it was awkward, or, you know, you just couldn't stop yourself? You know, maybe this is a self-control issue. Like, it's not everything that comes to your brain that you have to say impulsively, that kind of thing. Just really assess, like, not necessarily what's going wrong here, but what's going wrong here? Why am I not being able to behave in the way I really want to? And then start dealing with those things one by one. Is it that you need to control your tongue a bit better? Or maybe, you know, you don't actually have the language, and now you need to go and get the language to be able to have a better response in those situations. So really assess what is stopping me from reacting in the way that I know is appropriate. But I really love this level of self-awareness, and I really appreciate your effort even by sending this dilemma to be able to say, like, you want to get better. And I don't necessarily think there's anything bad with you. I just think you've acknowledged there's something hindering the growth of your relationships, and that takes a lot of immaturity to even do. And so you're already going in the right direction, basically. So yeah, sis, hopefully the rest of this episode helps you. And if you have a dilemma as well, send it to dilemmas@twomysisters.com. dilemma or dilemmas dilemmas @twomysisters.com
with an S.
Always get confused. Always get confused. But yeah, into the actual episode then, to build on a lot of the themes we've even discussed. I thought the easiest structure to kind of talk about growing in maturity, wisdom, and confidence would be to talk about the things that we have done and we have experienced that have helped us grow and mature into who we are. Because as the co-host of this podcast, I think a lot of people do look up to us in some ways, or are just like, you know, I really admire the level of maybe wisdom you have, or your approach to certain things, even the way we respond to dilemmas. And the one word that people often use to define both of us is maturity. You know, people are constantly shocked by our age. They are constantly shocked by, you know, the things that come out of our mouth. And so the prevailing question is, how did you become this mature, or how did you learn the things that you know? Where does all of this wisdom kind of come from? And so for you, what would you say has been one of the biggest things or biggest contributors to the level of maturity that you display?
That's a great question.
Well, firstly, even, do you consider yourself mature?
I'm trying. I'm trying to be, I think I've matured. But I think there is still a way to go in maturity. I think that's always going to be an ongoing journey. I think even at this juncture, it's important to reiterate that, we're still young. And I would hope that people, I would hope that people would think that we're older by virtue of hearing us and not seeing us. Don't be coming out here saying, we saw you on their podcast. We thought that she was, you know, 35 or something like that.
I often get that.
No disrespect to any of our like that older sisters.
That could be my 13th
reason. might even be my first, and I'm out of here. We try to take care of our skin, ladies, please. I hope it's just voice only. I give you the dulcet tones of somebody that was born in the 1950s. But yeah, I think that's a really, really great question. But yeah, I think that it's very important to reiterate that we're on a journey and we don't claim to be experts in anything. We're just, this is just conjecture at best. but I think one of the biggest factors for me is definitely faith. Being a Christian, you are required to mature. Like it is a necessity for you to mature in order to step into everything that I believe that God has called me to and God has called us to jointly and corporately. I think that having that deep relationship with my creator and that ongoing relationship with my creator has taught me so many things because it has provided a lens, if you will, with which to view the world. And I think as much as, you know, sometimes we banter and joke about like, obviously, oh, you know, you've become mature because of your trauma, your experiences, but it's not actually the experiences in of themselves that can lend itself to maturity, but our decision of what to do with what we've experienced. And I think faith has been one of the biggest ways that I have been able to process my experiences and process my trauma. It's been, you know, actually having something like the Bible where I'm able to go back and reflect and reference on the wisdom of people past, but also the wisdom of my creator has been invaluable in becoming more mature. Because one thing about the Bible's going to have a response to everything. That you could think of. And not even just that, but also the desire for intimacy with God as well. I think, you know, when I was a baby Christian, when I first gave my life to Christ and all that, you know, I remember like being so excitable and excited. And I still am excited. But I was still very early on in my kind of quest for knowledge and understanding. And I think it was that, right? Using my faith as a means to understand has been so pivotal in my maturity, in feeling a bit more confident with the way that I approach decisions and decision-making processes, feeling more confident in the way that I approach my relationships as well, because I have an anchor. And I think it's very difficult to be mature when you don't have an anchor. This has kept me steady. This has kept me, and don't get me wrong, you know, I be falling all the time. And it's not to say that I'm perfect or anything like that. Like I said, it's a journey. But I think having a relationship with God and pursuing a relationship with God has been an anchor in my life. And the thing about an anchor is it's going to hold you steady and hold you steadfast. In the Bible, it says that the Lord is our strong tower. So actually seeing that, using that, has been so, so necessary for me, because it means I always have something to come back to. I have a reference. I have accountability. We often talk about accountability in the form of people. And I definitely believe that obviously God gives us people, you being one of them, but also thinking about friends and family and all that kind of good stuff. But before that, preceding that, having the accountability that is my creator, knowing that at some point at the end of my life, I'm going to have to account to give account. Because we often say, okay, what does accountability mean? It means to provide an account of the way that you behaved, provide an account of what you did, how you spoke, the things that you said, even the things that you thought. And for me, it's not necessarily that I live in fear of that account, but more so I'm thinking, because I love my creator, yes, and because I have a desire to do good things, I have a desire to do God things, yeah, it means that everything else needs to fall in line with my anchor. So my faith, my desire to grow closer to God, my desire to understand God, my sense of purpose that is driven and that has been manifested through my relationship with, yeah, God has helped me mature. Because, man, when you realize, and we often talk about like purpose and destiny and all that kind of stuff on this podcast, but when you realize that the things that you are called to are bigger than you, that means you got to get big real quick.
Yeah, grow up real quick.
You have to grow up real quick. There's certain things, certain challenges, there are certain problems that require the adult version, yeah, of you. And not adult in terms of like how you physically grow, but actually mentally and emotionally, it requires the adult version of you. Yeah. And I think so many of us can be stunted in our emotional and spiritual growth, even though on the outside we present as adults.
Yes.
And faith has been one of the ways that I have been able to understand that as a concept.
I love that. And similarly, it was going to be my first point. So I love that you brought it up. I love that in the Bible, it talks about how the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, right? And I love that you actually use the word fear, because yes, there is that holy reverence for God. And the fact that, like you said, you're going to be held accountable to your dedication to loving God and also loving people. And I think sometimes we forget about that, that actually a huge reason why we mature emotionally, why we pursue wisdom, why we become more confident is not only in the pursuit of our purpose, but also just our participation in community,
yeah,
and how we treat people, and the fact that like God has given us everyone around us, everyone we encounter, and just the human race in general, as a gift and as a blessing and something to be honored. And so genuinely having a reverence for the fact that, woo, at the end of my life, you know, I'm gonna have to give an account, not just for what I did, but what I said and what I thought. It definitely makes you start thinking about navigating this life in the best way.
Yeah.
And that call to maturity, like you said, spiritual maturity, emotional maturity, is really for us to live a life that isn't about giving into our emotions all the time, isn't about giving into our impulses all the time, and realizing that, like, as much as you're physically growing up, sometimes our own flesh can overtake us, and it can happen in a way that leads us on a path of destruction, right? And I think one thing that faith has definitely illuminated to me is that this world is built with wisdom in its design, like the way the world is orchestrated and operates, like the entire universe is based on the wisdom of God. Like the Bible talks about how it was with wisdom that God designed and fashioned the earth. And so when we think about growing in wisdom, you have to go to the one that is wisdom. Right. Do you get what I mean? Wisdom is actually a spirit. But that leads me on to my second point, which is wisdom is knowledge that's been pursued, right? Wisdom is something that's acquired. It's something that's pursued. You never end that journey. You're constantly evolving and growing in it because you pursue it. The moment you start to think, I am wise, you've actually proven that you're foolish. Listen. Because you are not. Wisdom is nothing that anyone fully grasps and has arrived at, you know? It's something you're constantly being matured in, it's something you're constantly pursuing. And I say that because one of the ways that I'd say I've matured, we've matured evidently, is in our pursuit of knowledge, is in our pursuit of wisdom and acquiring it, right? Like, genuinely choosing to learn, genuinely choosing to apply ourselves to sitting under people and learning from them, reading books and learning from them, choosing to live a life that is evidence to the things that we've learned as well, and going through that hard process of discipline. Because I think one question that came to my mind, which I probably should have asked before the first one, is what is maturity? And I think maturity requires us to display a certain level of discipline, and simply the thing that defines whether you are immature or mature is how well you are at controlling yourself, well you are at receiving information and implementing it, how good you are at like genuinely saying, as much as I want to do this, I'm going to do this because I know it's better, and taking heed to wisdom is the proof of maturity, right? And being able to boldly do that is the proof of maturity. But I think we have gone through that very hard process of, okay, I know to do better, I know what is better, and now I have to force myself to do better. And that is an action of discipline, right? Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. disciplinary practice. And that's one of the ways you actually grow in your maturity, continually disciplining yourself. And I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
But back to what I was saying, wisdom is something that is pursued. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so, yeah, as much as you've got God and, you know, God's living inside of me and I'm a child of God, yeah. whatever, you can be a child of God and still a damn fool.
Stupid.
An idiot, right? Not because you don't have knowledge. And that's another thing. It's like, it's not just factual stuff.
Right.
You know, it's not just having this whole library of things. It's actually choosing to, one, have reverence for God, mm-hmm. but also putting the things you've learned to practice Absolutely. In your life. And one of Absolutely. The ways, I've been studying Proverbs actually, mm-hmm. and one of the ways that maturity and wisdom is displayed is through the testing of your relationships right, right. and how you actually interact with people. That's when you really see whether you're wise or not. Because mm-hmm. you can read all these books about emotional intelligence. You can go and have 7 hours of meetings with your mentor. But if you do not implement that mm-hmm. which you've heard and the knowledge you've acquired, you don't have wisdom. Mm-hmm. You just have a catalogue of knowledge. And a lot of us are walking around with a catalogue of knowledge. You know, we're watching the podcast, we're reading the self-help books, we're doing all these really good stuff. That's... But when the time of testing happens, we don't implement it. Mm-hmm. And that's the proof of our immaturity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so when I say pursue knowledge and pursue wisdom, what I'm saying is pursue the acquirement of the information, yeah. but also pursue and apply yourself to the disciplinary practice of mm-hmm. putting it in mm-hmm. action. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be my first point. Actually pursue wisdom.
It's necessary, but this is it, right? It's actually a worthwhile pursuit.
Exactly.
And I love that you made the distinction between the acquisition of knowledge yeah. and the deployment of knowledge, yeah. because they're two very different things.
Very different.
They are necessary.
The application,
listen,
that's the hard part.
That's what's going to decide the sheep and the goats.
Literally, okay? It's not those who know, it's those that did, yeah, right? And how facts. They did it.
Big facts.
Yeah, that's what we're judged on.
Yeah, no, I completely love that. So guys, please pursue wisdom as a worthy pursuit. Like, worthy it's something pursuit. That requires your time.
Yeah.
And it's not just, I think for a lot of people, there's the disconnect between head knowledge yeah. and then the heart knowledge, yeah. right? Like, it's one thing to know something, but then if your heart is far from your head, then you won't be able to deploy that correctly yeah. or in a way that is effective. So taking something that you know should be done and then doing it requires a full connection and full submission as well. I think one thing to talk about when we think of like maturity and all that kind of stuff is, I think you need to ask the question of what are you submitted to? Mm-hmm. And I think whilst we like speak about like faith and wisdom, and I love that you mentioned that wisdom is a spirit, yeah. we're actually submitted to yeah. a higher authority. When we talk about, one word that really came to mind as you were speaking was this idea of regulation.
Yes.
You have the information. Sometimes we're so quick to acquire information and then we deploy that information straight away. Mm. Or sometimes we're really quick to receive information, whether it be information outside or even information about ourselves, so our emotions. And we're very quick. It comes in and then it comes right back out.
Right.
And I think sometimes wisdom and maturity, not even sometimes, most of the time, wisdom and maturity requires regulation. Mm. So I've gotten this information. I now need to do a work of regulation mm. so that I can implement it effectively.
Okay.
Because sometimes we can take in information either incorrectly or yeah. we can take on a lot of information, but yeah. it's actually not practical the right. way that we've decided to deploy it. So having that time to regulate mm. the emotion that I've received, the information that I've received, the things that I'm receiving, am I actually deploying it in the right way mm. or am I just quick? Like, am yeah. I fast?
Could you give like an illustrative example of what that looks like?
So for example, you might receive information. I'll talk about the emotional stuff and then kind of more, I guess, intellectual stuff. You might receive information in your body that you are angry.
Yeah.
You might be really, really, somebody has really pissed you off. In your heart, you know that it's important for you to articulate yourself, but the process of regulation will enable you to, first of all, sit and contend and identify that emotion, but also understand what is the best way for me to deliver this yeah. information that I have. So it really is about delivery, but also how can I get to an effective, fruitful ending to this or outcome to this, whilst being true to the fact that I've received this information
yeah.
and being true to the fact that I actually want this relationship to continue, mm-hmm. or at least I want this to have a happy ending. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like in the emotional sense of like regulating that. In the more, I guess, intellectual, like theory sense of like information, yeah. you may receive information anywhere on the internet. You may be reading those books on emotional intelligence and whatnot. You may be reading books on therapy.
Yeah.
And I think that if you are if you don't read the room necessarily, there's a lot of people that, for example, because they know a lot, they think that they're wise.
Right.
But if you haven't regulated, say one of your friend is going through something quite like deep, you mm-hmm. have the knowledge and understanding from, say, a therapist's perspective as to what they're going through, but you haven't actually regulated and read the room as to how you might be able to deliver that information. Mm-hmm. So your friend has gone through a grievance or your friend has done something wrong. Right. You're giving them just information, right. but because you haven't regulated, you haven't actually given them wisdom.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually important that when we are receiving information, we also go through that process of regulating to be able to deploy that wisdom effectively.
Okay, yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. Could you talk more to the discipline point?
Yeah, discipline. Discipline is a fruit. Yeah. Plain and simple. Self-control. Listen, self-control is a fruit of the spirit, but discipline is necessary because I think it's a form of regulation. The mature person is disciplined. The mature person, discipline is basically, I think first of all, that discipline often gets a bad rap.
Absolutely.
In that
we associate it with punishment.
Exactly. Yeah. And discipline isn't just about punishment. Discipline, like the root word, actually means the idea of teaching, yeah. or the idea of
disciple. This
exactly, being a disciple or displaying the things that you have been taught.
Yeah.
So discipline is actually an opportunity for you to display the things that you have been taught, aka wisdom. Discipline is one of the ways that we can be able to tell if somebody is wise or if somebody is foolish. And I think discipline, or at least having some kind of system in place or some kind of ways or manner of ways that you engage with the world, is yeah. actually so important, because it means that A, you don't have to always rely on your motivation.
Yeah,
I think discipline is important because based on your systems, your principles, and you've already done the work of deciding who it is you want to be.
Mm.
Discipline is basically something that you fall into and you allow yourself to be so that you can show up consistently as Good. That person. So discipline is important in that respect.
Yeah.
I think discipline is also an important way that you can show that you respect yourself yeah. and respect, if you do believe in a higher power, if you believe in God, discipline and
self-control
is one of the primary ways in which we show obedience and submission. So it's actually really important for you to stay disciplined so that you can obey, you can That's be in submission.
Yeah.
Discipline also gives us confidence that we can do what we said that we were going to do, right? Discipline is one of the ways that we build up receipts.
Good.
We do repeatedly. Listen, you know that quote that says you are repeatedly what you do?
Yeah.
Discipline is one of the easiest ways for you to be the person that you want to be.
That's good.
Because they're receipts that you said you're going to do something, you did it. But more importantly, you actually showed up consistently and you did it.
Yeah.
You have the receipts. You've got proof. And I know the dilemma spoke about like the importance of having receipts, the importance of demonstrating character,
yeah.
right? You can only demonstrate character and other things through discipline
yeah.
because they're consistent receipts of you showing up that. As that person. Mm-hmm. So it's discipline is just one of my favorite things to at least to talk about. It's not something that's always going to feel comfortable mm-hmm. too. I think because as human beings, we can often crave comfort.
Yeah.
It's nice to be in things and in situations that make us feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But just because they're comfortable doesn't mean they're good.
Yeah.
And I think as humans, just in general, we actually need to embrace discomfort, especially for a higher purpose mm-hmm. or especially for our own self-growth.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to self-growth, when it comes to character, when it comes to emotional intelligence, a lot of the work that we have to do is going to be uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
by necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Growth often happens once you've gone through a period of discomfort. So I think we need to get real comfortable with discomfort, and discipline is often very uncomfortable because it requires us to, on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, say no.
Mm-hmm.
It requires us to subject ourselves. It requires us to have self-control. It requires us to do things that we may not want to do, but we need to do because it's good for us. I feel like I've gone on a rampage on discipline.
No, that was good.
But would love to hear what you think about discipline.
I completely agree. I think it requires discipline to really step into the life you want for yourself. And I think when you are growing, when you are a girl, you have all these dreams about what your future is going to look like. And then you grow up because of time.
Right.
You know, you end up growing up, and then suddenly you've arrived in adulthood. And the real determining factor as to what you arrive into and how confident you are as the woman you arrive as is whether you've had the discipline to implement what it takes to make those dreams happen.
Yeah.
So a lot of us have our childhood visions, our childhood dreams, our childhood fantasies of when I grow up, my life will be like this. I'll live here. This is what my relationship with my friends will be like. This is how I'll carry myself. And we often hear that phrase about, you know, imagine the woman you want to be and act like her. Mm. But I think discipline is whether you've actually made the decision to act like her or not and make the sacrifices, like you said, saying the no's, doing the things that are hard and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. How disciplined were you in living like that woman you want?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
To be, that's actually what will determine the fruit that you eat of in the future. And I think a lot of us lack the confidence sometimes because one, life has kicked it out of us, or two, we didn't adhere to the things we said we wanted to, and now the time has elapsed and we're seeing the fruits of it, right? We're seeing that like time went, but we maybe didn't make progress. We've grown in age, but we haven't really grown emotionally, spiritually, financially, academically, whatever it is. And so it's, well, in the time that passed, were you disciplined in doing what you said that you were going to do or what you knew you needed to do? That's what will really determine how confident you are. And so I love that you said, and we've said it so many times before in this podcast, discipline is about building that track record for yourself, which results in confidence, right?
Yeah.
Confidence is about that track record. And when you look at your track record and you see a whole bunch of indiscipline, that's when you can become a bit disappointed or a bit insecure. But it's okay. It's never too late to build up that track record. You just have to make that decision to stick to it. And another thing I was going to say about wisdom is in regard to that answer I typically give around like, oh, trauma, I think your experiences definitely shape the person you become.
Yeah.
However, trauma does not inherently make you wise just because it forced you to grow up.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people experience traumatic events and then experience arrested development and that results in immaturity.
Yep, yep.
So actually, one, it's just by the grace and the mercy of God, but also it's the decision around what you do with your experience, right? Just because you've been through something, and yes, this is ultimately, like inevitably, this is going to shape who you are, whether it shapes you positively or negatively, is purely based on, okay, not purely, because there's a lot of like psychological things involved. If you have like underlying issues or whatever, how your body deals with the way you've been triggered by your trauma is hugely dependent on biological factors as well. But it's also hugely dependent on how you decide to deal with it. And I think a lot of us have that kind of road, that split road ahead of us, which is, okay, this thing has happened to you and it's very legit. Like you've been hurt or you've been wronged or you've been traumatized by this thing. But who are you going to be? Are you going to choose to let this make you a bad person or a good person in loose relative terms? And I think when you apply wisdom, you choose to submit those experiences to shaping you in a better way, right? And choose not to live in what this could become, which leans more on the negative side. And I think that's why a lot of people say, the way you choose to respond to your trauma is your responsibility, even if your trauma was not, you know? This thing happened to you is probably out of your control, but how you respond to it hopefully is within your control as long as you still have your full mind. And so making that choice to respond in a more mature or a more productive, that's the word I'm looking for, choosing to mature, choosing to respond in a more productive way is what has birthed this wisdom, yeah. right? Which is, okay, let me really sit down and reflect on my story. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. are the lessons that this thing taught me? Mm-hmm. Despite it being really painful and despite me still feeling the present emotions, I'm going to do this journey of healing mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I want to learn the lessons mm-hmm. from it. I want to learn how not to treat people. Or I want to learn how I don't want to be treated. Yeah. I want to learn how to love people. I want to learn this journey of healing is going to teach me so much about myself, about God, about the mind, about the heart. And that has given birth to a wisdom that can now be shared.
Yeah.
And so I think definitely embark on going on that journey of healing and make that choice that no matter how long ago it was, the things that hurt me are no longer going to kill my future. I'm going to use it to help me get there, right? Because these are all a part of the story. These are all parts of the jigsaw. Yeah. I need to choose to put them in a specific place, and it can either make a good picture or a bad one, and realizing that you're actually in control of that. So I think it's also what we've chosen to do with the trauma, what we've chosen to do with those experiences which may have been negative that have given birth to this kind of maturity as well. Yeah, because it's all a journey at the end of the day. And no two paths always end up the same. But I think it's taken a lot for us to commit to just not being dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is necessarily, like, I hope this is not coming across as virtue signaling, because there wasn't that like superior moral compass that was like, no, I'm going to choose to be the best. No, it was genuinely a fight.
Yep.
Like, no, it was genuinely a fight.
We still fight.
Yeah, because within your mind, there is that contention around, we always talk about on this podcast, maturing, glowing and growing, doing all of this stuff is hard.
Yeah.
Healing is hard. Choosing to turn the other cheek is hard. Like all these other, like that example you gave, choosing not to give into your own anger, choosing to not let your flesh lead you or make the easy decision all the time is difficult. It's actually a battle. It's a battle of the mind. It's a battle for your soul, right? It's a battle for your future. And choosing to fight that all the time is really, really difficult to do.
Oh man, it's even tiring.
It's really tiring to do. And there are so many temptations to not do that, right?
Exactly.
And to just sit in, no, I will choose to be this kind of person. And life and time will move on and you will eat the fruit of that at the end of the day. It's all a choice. And so it's not to say, oh, we're so amazing. No, literally, it's been a fight. It's still a battle to choose to overcome the things that have happened to you or the challenges that you are facing. But like you said about wisdom, and I was illustrating before, it is a worthwhile pursuit because ultimately it determines what you step into. Mm-hmm. At this present moment in time, the future of who will be at Mothers is being decided, and it's being decided by us. Do you get what I mean? And so I think this conversation about going from a girl to a woman is to also highlight that, like, the woman who you are yet to become is being shaped by the woman who you are now and the choices that she chooses to make or she decides not to make, right? And so it's all on you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think wisdom is also the acceptance of that responsibility.
Exactly.
It's like that first thing that you were saying about having to give account. Ultimately, you will be the only one to give an account for how your life went. Not for the occurrences that happened in it, but actually how the story of it all went and the direction you chose to follow. And when we choose to take that consciously and seriously, that's when we start to really carve out the lives that we want for ourselves. But I think we have to take that responsibility on ourselves. And I think that's why, for me, lastly anyway, wisdom is a huge fruit of community, because I think when other people around you also hold you accountable to that, then you start to see the weight of it all and really what you're fighting for. Because if you say you want to live this life in the future, it's very easy to just give in and to give up. So it's very easy to just give up. But when there are people around you who are like, no, there's a lot on the line here, actually. It's not just our friendship. It's nothing like that. But it's actually the future you want or what you say you're pursuing, whether it's Christ-likeness, whether it's, you know, being that it girl, whether it's breaking generational curses, people who can remind you that there's a lot more on the line here that is not worth giving up for this impulsive decision mm-hmm, right now and mm-hmm. for the short term. Mm-hmm. So I think accountability and community for me always reminds me to pursue delayed gratification,
yeah.
but also to have the future vision in mind. And I think that helps you to remain wise, mm. right? Because as much as you've obtained wisdom and you've done great things in the past, wisdom is a very narrow path to follow.
Yeah.
And so you can easily fall off when you don't have people there kind of keeping you in line.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with every single thing you said, girl. Yeah, just, yep.
At some point.
No, girl. I feel like the topic necessitates it.
Yeah,
because it's a big one to go through. It's hefty, it's bulky.
Expound.
It's give me a point evidence explanation and then link it back to the question. Yeah. But I love what you were saying when you characterized the pursuit of wisdom as a fight. Because
yeah.
I think the easy accessibility of information has caused a lot of us to believe that the acquisition of knowledge is easy.
Yeah.
Therefore, wisdom is easy. You know better, therefore you should do better. But it's the do better that doesn't get easy. Listen,
that's good.
This thing is a daily battle every single day. Yeah. Like when folks, you know, tell us like, oh, we really admire the work that you do. We really admire that the sisterhood has grown so much and you guys are so wise. Thanks, sis. We're fighting for it every day. Genuinely contending for it every single day, whether it be through prayers, whether it be through our actions, whether it be through whatever it is, we are fighting for our lives here because that's what it is. It's a fight for our lives. And when we say show up as the woman every single day, it means also show up to fight.
Facts.
Show up to fight and also anticipate that the challenges will come.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can enter into the glowing and growing journey with a little bit of naivety, right? That things are going to be easy because I've decided to be a better person. In fact, because you've decided to be a better person,
that's when things get hard.
Oftentimes the persecution, the issues come 10 times. But rather than seeing them as blockers or challenges, these are opportunities for you to set, you know, show up as the woman that you claim that you want to be.
Yes.
Okay, you said that you wanted to be the babe that was constantly on top of it, productive, all that kind of stuff. You now have 10 things to do on your to-do list. How are you going to get them done? In what way are you going to show up? Are you going to perceive it as a challenge or are you going to see it as an opportunity?
Yeah.
Or I want to be that babe that is like, I'm choosing the right guy. We're going to have a healthy like relationship, get married, etc. When that man pisses you off, are you going to choose to show up as the girl that you mentioned that you want to be? Or is the babe from the south side of the kingdom going to come out? Do you know what I mean?
Like,
every single day, you have to decide to be that girl, be it girl, and anticipate that there will be days where you won't be the it girl.
Absolutely.
There will be days where you will just have to show up and that's enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's also another really important thing that you triggered in my mind. Discipline doesn't actually mean showing up 100% every day.
Mm-mm.
Discipline means showing up every day and giving something. You've got to give something. There will be some days where you're able to bang out the 100%, 100%, 100%. But realistically, it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
There will be things that will come and level you completely, that the best that you have to offer is showing up. That is still discipline.
Yeah.
And don't invalidate your consistency or invalidate the fact that you're actually trying just because you haven't been able to give the created and curated perfect picture of discipline that you thought discipline was, right? There will be days where, you know, I'll get through my to-do list. There'll be days where I'm talking to all of my family members and friends and stuff. There will be days where I am, you know, I'm shutting in the gym, all that kind of stuff. There will be days where I barely made it. Barely made it. Wig askew. Like I'm tired. Like I haven't eaten till like 7 p.m. in the day.
Yeah.
But you know what? I showed up.
Absolutely.
And I think it is understanding that this image that you may have of like wisdom and maturity doesn't look like 100% every day. It looks like showing up every day.
That's good. And the fact that 100% every day doesn't look the same, as we've been saying, like giving yourself that room to really, okay, I'm going to apply myself today, but application today doesn't look the same as it did like yesterday.
Right.
And realizing that there's constantly going to be new challenges you have to face. And I love that you illustrated that you have to decide whether you're going to step up to the plate or not, because nobody else can make that choice for you. But it's also giving yourself that room to know I'm constantly growing. Mm-hmm, I'm constantly being stretched. And so sometimes you are going to fall back down a little bit and realize that, okay, there's still a little bit of growing to do, but also these circumstances don't aid well to me showing up as I want to. Yeah, and yeah. I think wisdom is constantly about that evaluation as well. What is productive and what is not for me? Mm. And that's a very unique pursuit. And I think when we are talking about the evolution from girlhood to womanhood, we have to talk about embracing your journey, like yeah. how the Bible talks about run your race. Right. Do you know what I mean? Your race is going to look so different from everybody else's. So start to embrace that uniqueness, but also take this as a self-discovery journey as to what works for you and what doesn't, mm-hmm. what triggers you and what doesn't, what is productive for you and what isn't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I wanted to say based on what it is you just mentioned around, like, when people look at us and maybe take this as the example of what wisdom looks like or whatever, I think it's important to remember that the reason why we pursue these things so hard and the reason why we fight this fight is because of integrity.
Mm.
Ultimately, wisdom isn't just about what you say. There are so many people who have podcasts, so many people who write books. Spitting game, that sounds very, very wise.
Yep.
But to truly tell whether somebody is wise, you have to look at the fruit of their life. And when you look at the fruit of their life, you can really see whether they are wise or whether they're just knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
And I think when we are going so hard, and the reason why we have to go so hard, and sometimes the reason why wisdom can feel so heavy and finding out more about life can feel so heavy, is because you know you'll be held to account to the things you know but you have not done. And so it's important to realize that if you are going to live a life that is full of wisdom and its fruits and its beauty, it is a life where you live up to being an integral person, right? It is a life where you lay yourself down to integrity. And that is not a big burden to carry, but it's a huge call, and it's a very, very high call. And I think that's what helps us to realize that this is just a journey that we're still walking on, step by step, day by day. Mm-hmm. And remind yourself that that change that's going to happen in your life isn't going to happen straight away.
Yeah.
But actually, wisdom is something, it's a constant evolution. Like I said, it's a constant pursuit, and you have to choose to take those steps. But ultimately, if you are going to become a mature woman, you have to become an integral woman. Mm-hmm. And the higher you go and the further you go with this wisdom thing, the more you start to realize, damn, I really need Jesus, number one. And two, I actually don't have it all figured out, because there's always something new to learn about life and new to learn about yourself, right? There's always something higher required of you.
Mm.
And also there becomes more on the line.
Yeah.
And I think that's another, more less of the Proverbs, more of the Ecclesiastes kind of side of wisdom, where it's like,
God, I love Ecclesiastes, oh my God,
yeah, where it's like, actually, this thing has a lot of weight to it, because the more I grow, the more there's now on the line for me to lose with a mess up. And this isn't to incite fear in you at all, but it is to say, because wisdom comes with a weight, the more wise you become, the heavier that weight is.
Yeah.
And therefore, the heavier it can, the worse it can crush you, depending on how you handle it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so a decision today to not do something or to say something may not actually have that many ramifications, because maybe you haven't built the life around you yet that would shatter if you said that thing. Mm. But the more you pursue wisdom, the more you apply it, the more you live as the person you want to be, the more you actually get the fruit of it, the more you get the evidence of it, the more you have the healthy relationships, right? The more you build the community around you, you're actually living in the fruit of your wisdom. Now saying that thing can actually have real consequences, because you've actually attained the things that are now on the line. Do you get what I mean?
No,
so
I
now
that.
A simple transgression can actually shatter your entire family. A simple not controlling your tongue can lose and cost you your job. So the further you go in eating the fruit of wisdom, the more there is to actually lose if you make an unwise decision.
Yeah.
And so I think it's also realizing that, because wisdom, almost that path only gets narrower, right?
Yeah.
Because of that, you have to remain humble.
Yeah. Oh.
You have to remain humble to, and wisdom, like, fundamentally is all about humility. It's all about realizing, the higher I go, I actually don't know much. I actually don't know enough. Do you get what I mean? There is still so much to learn. And Haley on the In Totality podcast with Megan Ashley said this thing about, the higher you go, the lower you have to bow. And it's absolutely true,
right?
the higher you go and the further you go with wisdom, the more cautious you are about how you proceed.
Yeah.
Because the more you have, the more you realize is on you. To whom much is given, much is required. And wisdom inevitably results in much. It's like when Solomon asked for wisdom in the Bible, what happens? You now have this whole kingdom you're taking care of. And the more you display wisdom, the more people come to you for wisdom, the more people think, oh my gosh, there are bigger issues which I think you're qualified to deal with. But now you're dealing with bigger issues, you know? Now you have to approach things with a lot more delicateness, with a lot more tact, with a lot more seeking out, okay, God, what do you actually want for me to do? Because whereas before I was making a situation that seemed hard, now they even seem harder. And despite the fact, yes, I have acquired wisdom, it would be foolish for me to think I can handle them by myself. Because the same way you got me through that, you actually need to get me through this. And I think that's a inevitability of wisdom people need to prepare themselves for. This is a journey you must commit to all the time for the rest of your life. The acquiring of wisdom is an endless pursuit. It is endless. And the older we get, we are realizing it more and more that we're now dealing with bigger, more mature things. And that requires it's an endless cycle, right? But it is fruitful. I don't want to scare anyone. It is fruitful, but it reminds you, in our case anyway, with faith, stay close to Jesus. Don't think now you've gotten mature enough to walk away.
And this is the thing, right? Like, when it comes to the pursuit of wisdom and maturity, these things are often acquired in the entry point, but people don't realize that we need it all the more in the maintenance, in the management, in the stewardship, the words that we always use, but we don't actually really live out or embody, right? Yeah. It's one thing to acquire the thing initially, but to actually live steadfast in it. Guys, it is so important. Like, the amount of times, even in the Bible, right, where we have seen mighty men fall, because they what they had initially, or what they acquired at the entry point, they lost at the point of maintenance. So they lost where they really needed to manage, right? Understanding that this is a journey that we have to continue to go through, go over, go under, go around. There's no getting away. Notice the word was not away, it was around, it was through. You can't get away from the necessity of wisdom, the necessity of managing yourself, the necessity of maintaining the things that God has given you. It's not just about the acquisition of a thing, but it's actually the stewardship of a thing. How do I keep this? And I think wisdom is such a sober thing when you really think about it, because as much as we can display like fruits, in order to continue producing fruit or even to keep fruit, we also need to have a level of skill. And that really is what wisdom is, right? When you are a good farmer, you are able to reproduce results.
Exactly.
You are able to recreate, and you're able to have multiple harvests. Yeah. Some of us are not only just eating our seeds, but we get to the point of harvest and think that we're done.
Yes.
When really God is actually asking us to do that again.
Absolutely.
Or really God is asking us to, once you've, you know, had your harvest, take the seeds from that harvest and go back and start again and replant. So it really is even more important for us as women, as people, and even as we're speaking about like TMS and being the heights or the authority or whatnot, the reason we're conscious to not use those words about ourselves is because we are very cognizant of the fact that this is just a part of the journey, that there is a harvest here, but there is also seed here, and that harvest and seed need to coexist so you can continue to reproduce those results, you can reproduce those fruit. It's not just an end game or zero sum game. The end game is getting to the end of your life and sharing that account for sure. But in the meantime, how much fruit are you going to be able to bear and produce? But also, how much fruit can you reproduce?
Yeah.
We often talk about things like generational cycles of poverty and generational cycles of just evil. Can we get into a place where there's generational cycles of blessings?
Yes.
There's generational cycles of good things in our lives. And all of these things require wisdom to manage and maintain and reproduce. So even when we talk about like maturity, it's understanding that there are phases of maturity. And even when you get to a point of harvest with your maturity, you're laying seeds for the next season where you might have to be childlike again. Even when I think about like the life cycle of a woman, right? We go through the process of going, of becoming an adult, from girlhood to becoming an actual adult. But then there's a process through which, when we start engaging in relationships, we must be humble and learn again.
Yes.
Then there's a process, you know, when we decide, if we decide that we want to have kids, there's a process where we must humble ourselves again and learn again and use the seeds of the maturity from our past season to be able to harvest in the next season. When we're going through things like menopause, when we're going through things like loss and grief later on in our lives, we haven't arrived. Like, we've arrived at certain ends of seasons, but we haven't arrived at the end.
At all.
So it is really having that humility of knowing that, yes, I'm mature here in this season, but this really is the beginning of another cycle that I have to continue to pursue. And I think that always humbles me when folks like call me mature, or like whenever we talk about like this idea of journeying, it's knowing that sometimes there will be certain roundabouts that you will have to revisit, or your propensity to get through this particular season is what's going to propel you in the next one, because you have so much wisdom from being able to carry yourself in these unfamiliar territories until it becomes familiar. But it's not actually your navigation of that particular territory that will propel you. It's the skill and understanding of how to navigate it that will help you in your next season. So management, maintenance, because you are going to be a beginner so many times in your life.
So many times. And also, you will always be a learner. Always be a student of life, a student of wisdom. And that is inevitably a place of humility. No matter how much people are championing you of, oh my gosh, you're so mature, oh my gosh, you know so much, never become complacent, never become settled in this space. Because like I said, as soon as you think you are wise, you've actually proven that you are foolish, because the wise person knows they need more wisdom. They constantly need more wisdom. They need more knowledge. There is that constant awareness that the higher I go, the lower I go. And the more humble I become in my pursuit of knowledge. How many people have achieved great heights and ascended to great heights, but because they now thought, I'm there, I'm the girl, I'm the man, I'm the person everybody is hailing, they abandon community, they abandon authority in their life as well, and they stop their pursuit of wisdom and truly living out what they already know. Because sometimes that's the biggest trap we fall into, which is, okay, you've acquired wisdom, but actually your wisdom at the moment is just knowledge. Your wisdom at the moment is just in your head, it's in your heart, but it's not in your life yet. And as soon as you start thinking that wisdom is purely about the acquiring and not necessarily the practicing, and sometimes God gives us wisdom before it is needed, and then the time comes and then you don't implement what you know, that's how great people fall. That's exactly how great people fall. So it's also remembering that everything you know now, like you said, is for a future season. But I love that you mentioned about creating these generational patterns of blessings and stuff, because wisdom in itself is an inheritance we leave for people. And this is one of the biggest things I've been reflecting on about womanhood, especially in this season of life where it's like you're entering this new phase. It's like 0 to 25, you're really just, I'm just a girl, you know, and now you're really entering into womanhood, and the next 25 years you are thinking about maybe children, or what can I impart in my generation? And then there's another 25 years after that where you really become a beacon of wisdom for generations. You know, you're teaching your children, but they're also teaching their children. And so now we need to think about what is the inheritance we leave, right? And wisdom is an inheritance you leave. And if you don't acquire it, not necessarily saying that your life needs to be perfect, but if you do not acquire wisdom, there is a void which you are leaving, right? And that's how generational patterns continue. Because we haven't acquired wisdom, we don't know how to teach children, don't go that way. We don't know how to teach the people who have been brought into our lives that this is not how you do things, or this is how you do things for, you know, a greater and better life. And so also training yourself in wisdom is not just about your life, it's about what you also pass on to people, right? It's what we're doing on this podcast. It's leaving a legacy for generations and generations to come of, this is what we've done well, this is also what we've done wrong, don't make those same mistakes, right? Or this is how the world is orchestrated, this is how the world works. You need discipline, you need financial management, you need all of these things, which, you know, wisdom talks about every area of life in order for you to make it. But if we don't prioritize storing up wisdom so that we can pass it on, there'll be a whole generation of people who have to learn things from scratch themselves when they don't need to. And I think we also need to remind ourselves that, like you said, in future stages of our lives, our wisdom will be called upon for help. Do you get what I mean? People will ask us for help. And if we're going to take those opportunities to mentor, to guide, to disciple, as you were saying about discipline, we need to acquire wisdom now, right? We need to start writing these things down. We need to start living the life of it as well, so that people can come to us and at some point and be like, you know what, I want what you have, or I want to learn what you know. And that's how we allow a generation to surpass us in their achievements and to surpass us in their happiness and satisfaction, as well as in their testimony of life, right? I did more than what my mom did. I did more than what my grandmother did. And ultimately, that's the testimony we want people to have. But that testimony is not just a fruit of money. It's a fruit of wisdom.
Courtney, you know what? You've really touched on something that is so near and dear to my heart, in that wanting to actually have the desire for people to do better than you is something I think our generation, and I think quite a few generations, have lacked. It is wisdom to know that we're leaving an inheritance
for our children and our children's children.
And it is the degree of love that is required for that. This is why you actually need to know Jesus.
Exactly. The amount of love, the amount of sacrifice, also the amount of maturity, right? To make a decision at 27 that says in 50 years, in 60 years, in 70 years, people are going to need me to have made the right choices. People are going to need me to have even at least learned from the wrong choices that I made so that I can pass it on. Or they will have to relive these things to figure it out for themselves, right? That's a duty that you really take up.
You have to.
And you take it up from now, right? In order to, like you said, have generations to come do better than you did. And that's how we really do acquire generational blessing. When we realize that, like, the secrets of it all are in wisdom. They're not in, because a lot of us are doing the whole acquire money, even in this whole like acquiring generational wealth. Generational wealth is a fruit of wisdom. You know, generational health is a fruit of wisdom. Life and its fruits are dependent on the application of wisdom, and the acquirement of wisdom. And so when we allow ourselves to mature really in wisdom, that's when we really pass on generational wealth. Because you can give your children £1 million. If you haven't given them wisdom, they won't know what to do with it. They won't have a clue. It's even look at Solomon and David. Listen. Solomon is the child of David. I'm in line to be king. I'm going to inherit a whole kingdom. No question about it. But the thing he asked for wasn't great riches. It wasn't. It was wisdom. If I'm going to inherit all these things, I need to know how to steward all of these things. And that is a matter of wisdom. And so what we need to pass down, and even the whole book of Proverbs, the way it's structured, and one of the many things that's mentioned repeatedly throughout the chapters, heed to the wisdom and the instruction of your mother and your father. Because as much as you have all of these resources, if you do not have wisdom, you will find yourself in a hole. You will find yourself trapped by the foolishness of bad company, by the foolishness of even adultery, like finding
adultery.
Wisdom is often illustrated as a woman, and foolishness is often illustrated as a pursuit of like a adulteress or seductress. And so it's like, even in the pursuit of the flashy and the tempting and the thrill, that's how you lose everything you have. So the maintenance of your inheritance is wisdom, is about wisdom. It's not about the gain, it's about the maintenance. And so wisdom is necessary. Wisdom is necessary for us to teach. It's necessary for us to really sit at the feet of people trying to gain wisdom. And it's not that everybody knows everything, but truly when you train your mind to think, everywhere you go, what can you take from this that will help you through life? Chew the meat, spit out the bones, because some people are talking crazy stuff, and keep it moving.
People will be coming everywhere to talk nonsense these days. Facts. And I hate it for us. You know, one thing I do love about the Bible is when it describes the wilderness or the potholes or the ditches. I really, really love it, because when you actually like study the land masses or study like how difficult it is to extricate yourself from a ditch, you will actually realize that, whoa, when you find yourself in a sticky situation as a result of poor decisions, as a result of unwise behavior, you realize that prevention is better than cure. That's one of my mom's, shout out to my mom, that's one of her favorite phrases whenever she sees some tomfoolery. Prevention is better than cure. The amount of times that we have had to spend, whether it be in healthcare, but also in so many other situations, where we are spending significant resources in trying to get back to a place of just nominal health as opposed to moving forward because we didn't invest in prevention. Wisdom is prevention personified. Yeah. You are not only actively curating a path for people, but you're also preventing a lot of people finding themselves in a ditch or in a place where they are now going to need significant amounts of resourcing to get back out of. Yeah. And when I think of like... finding yourself in these situations, oftentimes, I love what you mentioned earlier, it's important to have community because to get yourself out of that ditch, you can't rely on your wisdom because that's what got you here in the first place. You're going to have to rely on the wisdom of somebody else, something else, or some other resourcing to get you out, to actually pull you out and back to that place of nominal health. So it's actually really important that we see wisdom as a mechanism for prevention as well as something that is curating our path. Mm. But equally, if you do find yourself in the fruit, like literally living in the fruit of an unwise decision, knowing that that's actually not the end of the road, you can come back out, but you do need to rely on the wisdom outside of yourself, especially if it's the wisdom of yourself that allowed you to get into that situation in the first place. Those ditches, some of them are deep.
But even a note on that, there are actually some times where you get to where it's too late.
I'm screaming.
I'm being so real. There is a point that you can get to where you've made so many poor decisions.
Yeah.
And wisdom was literally saying, hey, all of the YouTube suggestions, all of the book suggestions, all of people telling you, you know what you need to do?
Stop.
You know what you need to do? Start living a different way. Yeah. You can hear that over and over again. And because of your own rebellion or because of your own stubbornness and pride, you just, even this message we have about community, right? Mm. Get yourself community, surround yourself with people, have accountability. People can hear that over and over again and think, nah, I don't need it. Nah, I don't need it. These are all just buzzwords. Da, da, da. And they start hardening their heart to wisdom and its cries that they then get to a point where they realize you've gone too far to even come back. And I think a lot of us also need to be mindful and vigilant of that as well. That yes, there's always another chance, but tomorrow's not always promised. What if you're not here tomorrow? What have you left?
Yeah.
What have you achieved? Also, what are you going to give an account for?
Yeah.
I think that's also one of the things that makes you realize that wisdom has a certain level of urgency to it, right? Like, it's not, wisdom shouts at you that like, no, stop, stop, no, really, change your ways, change your behavior. And the more you resist its cries, the more you resist listening and actually putting it into practice, the more you'll be giving yourself over to that life you don't want. And you will have no one to blame. That's another thing. So don't be stubborn. The thing that kills wisdom most is pride. Do not be stubborn. That's the same way we've been talking about pride requires such a huge level of humility. If you want to display that you are a fool, the most foolish people are the prideful, are the arrogant, are the stubborn, are the people who, I can do bad all by myself, I've got this, I don't need to do what other people are doing to succeed. There are reasons why the people who have succeeded have all done the same thing. They all preach the same thing because wisdom is truth that is inescapable. Do you get what I mean? But if you decide, no, you want to be contrarian, you will suddenly find that your way is not the right way.
Have you seen that tweet? Oh my God, I've literally saved it in my phone. It's like, wisdom runs fast.
But you run faster. It's literally pursuing you and you're running away. Choose to follow the blueprint. Choose to follow the steps in the sand. Nah, because so many of us are trying to go on our own path. Don't be innovative in this
area.
Trying
to be a trailblazer.
Don't be a disruptor in this area. Don't be a change maker in this area.
Don't change anything.
Pursue wisdom. Be conformative.
Don't change anything yet.
Please be conform. And I think that's another thing with our generation, right? Because the word submission has been so perverted and so abused, a lot of us don't like it.
Exactly.
We don't like the idea of submitting to wisdom. We don't like the idea of submitting to council, submitting to community, submitting to authority figures, mentors, even submitting to our parents. We hate it, right? But a core part of wisdom is submitting to it.
Listen, and even I think a lot of people, they despise authority for making wrong decisions or poor decisions. There is wisdom in those decisions and there's wisdom in listening to the outfall of those decisions.
And it's often the youth. The young of us that are most guilty. Like, now I'm growing, and I'm actively pursuing a lot of the things I want out of life, the more I realize the people I criticized were right.
Yeah, 100%.
They were actually right.
100%.
You know, the more I look at my mom and I think, I'm so sorry I gave you a hell of a time, because you were actually right. Mm-hmm. And if I had pursued what you said, I probably would have been a lot further ahead than I am now. And that's a very humbling place to be. And once you come to the realization of that, you realize that there's a lot that you should be adhering to now if you don't want to have that very big shock.
He who does not listen will feel, and trust me, you don't want to feel it.
Literally. So he who have an ear, let him listen, hear,
open up,
hear what we're saying. Yeah, submit to wisdom, man.
Yeah, submit to wisdom.
Hopefully this episode was actually helpful to you.
Somewhere.
In all you're getting, please get understanding.
Collect understanding.
Try your best, you know, pause this at any point, come back and listen to it. But hopefully it was helpful. Let's all become wise women. Yeah, let's all become wise.
Above all,
pursuing riches and all of that, which by God's grace we'll all attain.
Hallelujah.
Let's actually be wise women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the women that win. So yeah, sis, we hope that you have a great week. You can definitely stay plugged into the sisterhood. Let us know if this episode was helpful. Comment down below.
Yeah.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on all socials at To My Sisterhood. And you can also follow us individually, my lovely best friend at Renee Kapuku and me at CD Watt.
Yes, yes, yes. And if you want to continue pursuing wisdom, a wise thing to do would be to sign up to the To My Sisters mailing list. We've been shouting it. Didn't we tell you that wisdom pursues you, but you're running fast? For those of you that are allowing wisdom to take you, please, please, please continue. For those of you that, you know, you're not on this mailing list and you're hearing this podcast still, Omar, your time.
Yeah.
You'll only have a certain amount of time. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Just sign up to the mailing list, where we'll actually be sharing a lot of our tips and tricks, the things that we are listening to, the things that we are watching, how you can increase in wisdom as well.
Yeah.
All the practical tidbits and fun will be in the mailing list. www.tomysisters.com. Very, very simple, easy, straight to the point. Pop in your face.
God,
are you okay?
No.
your face. Please.
Your email.
Pop in your email. Don't send me an image of your face. I'm sure you're beautiful. But pop in your email and your name and we will send that out to you every single week.
Love to see it. Well, have an amazing week, sis. And keep glowing and growing.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.